This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. What a good day it is to be together in this hour of worship, and it's my joy to welcome you, whether you are here in the sanctuary in person or joining us over live stream. The Spirit of Christ unites us in this time of worship, and I am glad to be with all of you. I'd like to invite you to take a moment to register your attendance. If you're worshiping online, there should be a link that you can go to where you can do that. If you're here in the sanctuary, the registration pads are at the end of each row, and if you would pass those down and back again and sign in and let us know, excuse me, that you're with us. If you are visiting with us, we hope you've had a chance to meet some of the folks around you. And if you are by chance looking for a place to call your church home, we'd love to have that conversation with you and tell you a little bit more about how we're trying to live out God's love in our community. So you can share an email address or a mailing address on that registration pad, and we will reach out to you. In your bulletin, there is a QR code. If you'd rather do things digitally, you can scan that QR code and register your attendance and share any prayer concerns, have access to the bulletin and opportunities to give online. So that's what that QR code links you to. If you are in the sanctuary, I did want to acknowledge that the bulletins are a little wonky this morning. The pages are slightly different in order, and so it may be a little hard to follow at first. We had a little snafu in the office, which we didn't realize until they were all printed. And in the interest of saving trees, we decided that we could all figure it out together on Sunday morning. So we'll get that fixed for next week. This is the first Sunday of Lent, a season that is set apart for special reflection and different kinds of prayer and worship. And I want to invite you to walk through this season of Lent with the Lenten devotionals. They are, for those of you here in the sanctuary, they're available in Reed Hall and in the Narthex. And there's a daily devotional for each day that we walk through this season. Also, every Thursday at noon, we will have a musical offering here in the sanctuary that's also available live stream for you to pause and take a moment in the middle of your week to be surrounded by sacred music and invited into prayer. We are continuing to look for folks to help participate in worship on Sunday mornings. And if you're interested in ushering or greeting, there's a link on the website where you can sign up to do that. We're also looking for more folks who'd like to read scripture in worship. And if that interests you, you can email Julie Catterton and find her on our website under staff. That's Julie Catterton, and she'll get you signed up. Those are the announcements that I have for this morning. There are others in the bulletin and others accessible through that QR code. But as we begin this season of Lent together, we're going to be looking week by week at the vows we make at our baptism. And so this morning we'll be considering that first question that is asked of someone being baptized or of parents who are having their child baptized. Do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? So let us ponder that question together as we enter into this hour of worship.
Thank you. Sometimes we are led to uncomfortable places. Sometimes we face uncomfortable choices. Let us serve God, who is always faithful. God is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Trusting in these promises, let us now confess our sins and seek God's pardon on this Lenten journey. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. And now, O God, we offer to you our individual confessions in silence. Friends, hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. And now, as a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love in whichever ways are most comfortable to you. And if you're visiting with us online, we invite you to do that via the chat or text a friend. May the peace of Christ be with you.
Let us join together in the Lenten prayer for illumination. God, through Christ you gave us the water of life. Make us thirsty for your word, that we may give witness to your great love poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. A lesson from the Gospel of Luke, Chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you're the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up, showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world, and the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all the authority, for it's been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem, placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you're the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is said, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I'd like to have a special moment with all the children. Those of you who are here in the sanctuary, you can come and join me. You have to go a long way around today because it's Communion Sunday. And if you're worshiping from home, just come a little closer to your screens. Good to see you this morning. What a great group. Come on down. Welcome, welcome. Oh my goodness, we may break a new record today with such a big crowd. This is wonderful. Aren't we happy to see all of these children this morning? Thank you for being here. Yay. Okay, well, as we gather, as you come on up, you'll see that kind of right in our midst is this white thing, this marble thing that we call a font. Does anybody know what we do over here? Do you remember what happens here at the font?
Yeah. If you're here,
you can put water in there.
Yeah.
And what were you going to say?
We baptize
people here. That's right. And I know many of you were baptized right here. Yeah, it is March. That's right. And today we are going to talk a little bit about baptism. And what happens in a baptism is that a lot of times it's a baby who's being baptized, and the baby's parents make some promises. And they profess their faith, we call it. They say, yes, we believe in Jesus, and we're going to keep following Jesus, and we're going to teach our child everything we know about following Jesus. And then all of these people in the congregation also make a promise. And we promise that we're going to love you and help you learn about God's love. And so that's what we do every Sunday. All of us come together, and we learn about God's love. And it all starts with baptism. So I'm grateful for this church family that can help me follow Jesus better, for all of you who help me follow Jesus better, and for the promises we make to help each other do that. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank you that we have so many children in our congregation, and we get to celebrate baptism so often because they remind us of your love for us and for all people. Keep us mindful of the promises we make in baptism to be your people and to do everything we can to love you and to love our neighbors in all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all so much for listening. If you are 3, 4, or 5, you can go with Pastor Maggie and Pastor Aaron to Children's Church. And if you're younger than that or older than that, you can return to your parents. It's true that one of the things that has brought me so much joy over the past year is the number of baptisms we've been able to celebrate as a congregation. Even in the year of 2021, when I was just talking with someone, this time last year we were still having to RSVP for worship. Remember, we were having to limit numbers and watch all of that. And even with the bumpy road and the year that we had in 2021, we celebrated 38 baptisms as a congregation. And many of those were infants, families who were bringing their children into the life of the church. And so we had 38 different opportunities to make our promises to those families, that we would surround them with a community of love and forgiveness. And so it's been such a joy to stand in this place so many times and to see a young family here holding a beautiful, innocent, sweet child, and to have the privilege of asking them the ancient questions of the faith. But that first question is always a little jarring, don't you think? The first question I ask is, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Wait, I'm holding a baby, and this is sweet, and they're wearing a dress, and isn't this a happy, joyful moment? Why are we talking about the spiritual forces of wickedness and the evil powers of this world that make me think of, you know, Darth Vader rubbing his hands together? What is this question all about? But the truth is, it really is an ancient question of the faith. From the very earliest days of the church, a person who was coming forth for baptism had to say first and foremost what they were renouncing, what they were turning away from in order to follow Christ. In this season of Lent, we hear the word repent often. And literally that word means to turn. So repenting of your sin, turning away from certain things in our lives, letting go of certain things in order to embrace life as a disciple of Jesus. And so that question comes before us every time we celebrate a baptism. And it comes before us in this first week of Lent. What are the spiritual forces of wickedness, the evil powers of this world? What is our sin that we need to turn from, that we need to renounce and reject in order to follow Christ as we are called to follow Christ? Well, as it turns out, every year, the first Sunday of Lent, the gospel lectionary is this story of Jesus in the wilderness. This year, we get to hear it from Luke's perspective. Before Jesus begins his public ministry, before he preaches his first sermon or conducts his first miracle, he is baptized, he's covered in the waters of the Jordan, and he hears the voice of God saying to him, "You are my beloved." And then he goes right into the wilderness for 40 days to be tested, to be tempted. Now, the way Luke tells the story, he personifies evil in the person of the devil, who brings before Jesus three different temptations, trying to get Jesus to turn away from the path that he's on, to be a different kind of Messiah than the one Jesus is going to end up being. And so I want to take a look at these temptations really briefly to help us explore maybe some of the ways that we are tempted and some of the things that we might need to reject and renounce and turn away from in our own lives. The first temptation is to turn a stone into a piece of bread. Jesus has been fasting for 40 days. He's obviously starving, weak, tired. And I can imagine how tempting it would be to know that he had the power to turn a stone into a piece of bread and just to fill his own belly. Nobody's watching. Who's going to know? What's wrong with feeding yourself if you can? But Jesus hears exactly what the temptation is. You see, fasting was a practice that would allow a person to draw closer to God. Every time the stomach growls, to recognize that I need God more than I need food. My soul needs a relationship with God more than my stomach needs to be filled with bread. And if Jesus were to feed himself, just to turn a stone into bread and eat, he would be renouncing his trust in God. He would be trusting in himself, putting himself first, rather than trusting in God. And so his very trust in God is at stake. And so he responds to the devil with scripture. We do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. The second temptation is for worldly power, political power, power over others. If you will just bow down and worship me, the devil says, I will give you all the kingdoms of the earth, and you can be in charge. You can use your power to direct people and coerce people and make them do what you want them to do. But Jesus rejects that and chooses instead to worship God and God alone, which does not guarantee any sort of earthly power. In fact, we find it ends up with death on a cross. The third temptation is for Jesus to stand at the top of the temple and throw himself down to make sure that God really is with him. Because if you are the Son of God, God will send his angels to catch you. Prove that you're the Son of God. Make a big spectacle out of it so everyone will know. Make it a show, Jesus. And once again, Jesus renounces and rejects that temptation because that is not the Messiah he is called to be. He will be on the margins with the weak and the vulnerable. Oh, he'll go to the temple, but not to put on a show, not to impress the religious leaders, but rather to hold them accountable and remind them what the temple is all about. We'll hear that story next week. So we see Jesus, having spent much time in prayer, having immersed himself in the scriptures and the word of God, having what he needs to resist these temptations. And so the question is for us on this first Sunday of Lent, what are those spiritual battles we're engaged in? What are the spiritual forces of wickedness trying to fill those spaces within us that only God can fill? What are the evil powers of this world that we need to reject? And what is our sin that we need to turn from? Well, one answer is really clear this morning. As I've thought about these questions, spiritual forces of wickedness, evil powers, all I had to do was read the headlines. It is really easy to see this week evil power at work in our world. As we have watched Putin send in troops to conquer Ukraine, and the things that are happening to the citizens of that country, the devastation and the untrustworthiness, even in negotiations, it is evil what is happening there. And so I want to be able to stand up and say, I reject the evil power that is at work right now in that situation. And that is true and needs to be said. But at the same time, that's no excuse for me not to turn my eyes upon myself. It's sometimes easy to externalize evil and say it's over there, it's in that person, it's in that situation, it's in that group of people. But Lent invites us into self-examination. Where am I tempted by the spiritual forces of wickedness? Where am I tempted to turn away from God? And as I ponder that question for myself, I'll share with you one of many revelations that I had in my own life. We see Jesus tempted to turn a stone into bread, to take care of his own needs instead of trusting in God. And I see myself doing that over and over and over again. Over these past 2 years, as we have navigated this pandemic and pivoted again and again, I find myself trusting in my own smarts, my own ability, my own capacity, trying to do it myself, trying to tell myself, oh, I know how to do this. We got this. And then a couple of weeks ago, I had someone ask me, so where is God in this for you? And something just broke open for me. And I realized that I had been relying on my own power to navigate these days. And I have not been turning repeatedly to God with my own emptiness. And then I remembered something that Henry Nouwen wrote about, that all of us need to begin with our own emptiness and our own inadequacy. That's our starting point with God. To recognize again and again, we can't do this without God. Without Christ in our lives, we are nothing. And so, one of my Lenten practices is to try and recognize within myself when I'm thinking, I got this, God, you're busy, I know you got other things going on, we'll take care of this. or when I give up the opportunity to pray in order to go work on my to-do list. It's a simple thing, but it makes all the difference. Where do you see yourself in these temptations in the wilderness? Do you feel tempted to trust yourself more than you trust God? Do you feel tempted to trust in worldly power more than in God? See, the thing about these temptations is that they're subtle, and so many of them look like good things, when in reality they are things that pull us away from God. So this is an invitation into self-examination, an invitation to repent, to turn away from those things that are not of God, that keep us from trusting in God and trusting in God's love, so that we can turn and open ourselves to a life with God. That's the heart of it, really. It's not just that we're renouncing and rejecting and repenting. We do all of that so that we will be open and ready to step into the life that God has for us, a life of abundance and grace and joy and hope and peace beyond measure.
Respond to the life of Jesus, to the call of God, with our affirmation of faith, which can be found in your hymnal, number 883, a statement of faith of the United Church of Canada. Please rise and embody your spirit as we affirm our faith. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. As we come to our prayer time, I invite you to lift up both your silent and spoken prayers. If you'd like to share them with the pastoral team to pray throughout the week, please follow the link under Contact Us on our website, or if you're here in the sanctuary, there are gray cards in the pew racks in front of you, and you can place that card in the offering box on your way out this morning. We have a number of people this morning whom we sit with in grief. Alita and Byron Trauger and family are mourning the death from cancer of Alita's oldest brother, Jan Grelos. Died in Chicago on March 2nd, and the funeral will be held today in Chicago. We also mourn alongside Brick, Kimberly, and Annie Carlton Veers, who are mourning the death of Brick's mother, Lynn Veers, who passed away on February 24th. Services were held in Brownsville, Tennessee on February 26th. She is also survived by her brother-in-law and sister-in-law, Tom Veers and Margaret Reed.
We mourn with Linda Lunden and Edwin Voorhees and their family, who are mourning the death of Linda's father, John Schachter, who passed away on March 1st. We also ask that you hold in prayer this week our own Katie Minnis and Sarah McCain. They are going before the Board of Ordained Ministry. It's an interview. It's a culmination of all of their studies and all of their internships. These interviews are part of that process to becoming fully ordained, and they can be very stressful. So we invite your prayers for Katie and for Sarah this week as they go through those interviews. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God, when we reflect on our vows that we made to you and to one another in our baptism, we are first filled with gratitude. You claimed us. You call us your own. No matter what we've done, no matter whom we've hurt, or how we've distanced or closed ourselves, we are yours. You are our God. For our strong connection to you and to one another, we give you thanks. As we walk through this Lenten journey, help us to remember our vows and give us the courage to live them, whether baptized in this congregation or another, or never even baptized at all. God, last week we marked 2 years since the tornadoes wrought destruction in our communities. We pray for those who are still recovering. We pray for the successful rebuilding of homes and businesses. Please comfort those who continue to mourn loved ones lost. We pray for resilience. We pray for better preparation for future storms. God, as a war rages in Ukraine, we pray for peace. We ask for your protection around all. We pray that cooler heads prevail. We long for the day that all of your people here on earth would beat their swords into plowshares, that instead of pouring resources and energy into war, we would instead pour that same amount of effort into care for one another and care for the earth. We continue to pray for those who are sick, those who are dying, those who are caregivers, and for those who grieve. Be close, God, to the brokenhearted. Shield the joyous. Help us to be an extension of your love for them. We ask for your wisdom on the best ways to be your hands and feet in this beautiful and broken world. Give us courage to challenge unjust laws, to stand in solidarity with our neighbors experiencing homelessness or injustice, to walk with the hurting, to provide comfort to those who need it. And all of this we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. As we prepare to give our tithes and offerings, we recognize that everyone has a different financial situation. So that we might continue our vital ministries in this community and throughout the world, we invite you to give as you're able or as you feel led. And for those of you who are worshiping with us online, you are welcome to give via the options listed on the screen or in the chat. And for those of you who are worshiping in person, there are offering boxes located in the narthex at the back of our sanctuary where you can leave your offerings following the service. Let us offer now our gifts, our tithes, our offerings, and most of all, our hearts to God who loves us unconditionally. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, loving God, creator of heaven and earth. You brought all things into being and called them good. From the dust of the earth, you formed us into your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. When rain fell upon the earth for 40 days and 40 nights, you bore the ark on the waters, saved Noah and his family, and made covenant with every living creature on earth. When you led your people to Mount Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights, you gave them your commandments and made them your covenant people. When your people forsook your covenant, your prophet Elijah fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and on your holy mountain he heard your still small voice. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. When you sent him into the world to save us, your Spirit led him into the wilderness, where he fasted 40 days and 40 nights to prepare for his ministry. When he suffered and died on a cross for us, you raised him to life, presented him alive to the apostles during 40 days, and exalted him at your right hand. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. Now, when we, your people, prepare for the yearly feast of Easter, you lead us to repentance for sin and the cleansing of our own hearts, that during these 40 days of Lent, we may be gifted and graced to reaffirm the covenant you made with us through Christ. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, Jesus took bread, gave thanks to you, and broke the bread. Then he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for all, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us, as together we sing the mystery of faith. Your Holy Spirit on us gathered together, and on these gifts of bread and the cup. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood.
And by your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. I invite you to join me in the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, saying,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
My family in Christ, this is the body of Christ that has been broken and given that we might have the bread of life always. And this is the blood of Christ, the cup of grace poured out for all, that that grace might flow through us to all the world. The table is set, the feast is prepared, and everyone is invited. This is not the table of our denomination or of this congregation, but is the table of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is our host, and he invites everyone. So if you are here, you are welcome at this table. If this is your first time receiving communion here in this particular community, we will invite you to come forward. Our choir will come first, followed by those in the balcony and the transepts, and then those in the center. Our ushers will help guide you as you come forward. You can come and kneel at the altar rails, and if you'll have your hands open, that will let our servers know that you have yet to receive the bread and the cup. All of our elements are gluten-free, so everyone can come and receive in that way. After receiving, you're welcome to stay at the altar rails and kneel and be in prayer as long as you would like. Pastor Stacy and I will be making our way around the congregation if you would prefer or if you need to stay in your seats. And we'll be bringing these elements, which are prepackaged, also gluten-free. The bread is in the bottom and the juice is in the top. So if you'll just wave to us as we walk by, we'll bring those to you. When we come forward to the table, we always have an opportunity to give a gift to one of the missions of our congregation, and our March communion offering goes to support Bethlehem Centers of Nashville. We'll be partnering with them this summer to provide a junior internship opportunity for students in high school working their very first job. So we will use these funds this month to sponsor an intern supervisor that will help the executive director and walk alongside our interns in their first jobs. So we hope that you'll be praying for these folks as you give this morning. And now we invite you to prepare your hearts to receive grace upon grace upon grace offered to you at this table. Now let us rise in body or in spirit and offer our thanks for what we have received. You have given yourself to us, Lord. Your love has made us a new people. Your glory has filled our hearts. Amen. Of baptism have claimed us as God's beloved. Let us step out into this journey of Lent, this journey of life, turning away from all that is not of God into the joy and peace of God's kingdom. Amen.